G.I. Journal goes to press. Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, the special service radio newspaper of the AEF.
All right, copy, boy.
Fellows, you've often heard that expression, sing your troubles away. Well, we'd like to present a man whose trouble is his singing. Your editor-in-chief for this edition, Bing Crosby.
Hiya, man.
Hiya, Bing!
Well, I just dropped in on you fellas to renew your subscriptions to the G.I. Journal. Tonight, we're hitting you with the five-star final with your five-star reporters, lovely Linda Darnell, the gal who scans the V-mail letters from you men overseas, Falstaff Openshaw, the G.I. bard with rhymes, nonsense, and assorted efforts from used guys, Arthur Q. Bryan, the soldier's beat to Fairfax. He's here to answer problems about broken hearts, fractured ventricles, Charlie horses, and hot flashes. John Scott Trotter, an adequate man in anybody's music department. Hattie Mitchell, Mel Blanc, and Pat McGeehan are also standing by. And, of course, there's our roving reporter, Jerry Colonna, who should be calling in right now with a story about his experiences at an army camp.
Hello, Chief.
Colonna, tell me, did you fire on the rifle range?
Ah, yes, it was a thrilling experience. I squeezed the trigger and bang, I got a 3 at 5 o'clock, then I got a 4 at 5 o'clock, then I got a 5 at 5 o'clock, and then a 2 at 4 o'clock.
How come the last shot was at 4 o'clock?
Daylight saving.
And you continued firing?
Yes, indeed. I got a 5 at 9 o'clock, I got a 3 at 10 o'clock, I got a 4 at 3 o'clock, I got a 2 at 7 o'clock, and then I got something at 2 o'clock, and they threw me in the guardhouse.
Why? What did you get at 2 o'clock?
A sergeant.
Well, looks like the whole gang is all set to paddle the presses.
And Roller's poised with something for the boys on the Emerald Isle. Are you ready, John?
Oh, me name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul. Well, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns, they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Tennessee tunes the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
I would like to get our fuses from the Muses department set up. Has anybody seen Falstaff, our poetry editor?
No, I haven't been.
Well, if I knew what pub was setting him up for him tonight, I'd run out and collect him.
Pray don't flee, my jolly fellow. Falstaff's here and the stuff is mellow.
Ah. Openshaw the omniscient.
The smelly Shelley at your service. Have you heard, said the horsehair to the violin string, may I be your beau?
No. No, but you trap me.
Or perhaps put down that live wire, mother, and hustle. Sparks are starting to come out of your bustle.
No, you see, we only have...
Precisely why I am here. Just listen to this fine poem sent in by Private Jerry Daly. Why does a hen lay an egg? This question has weathered the ages. For aeons, it's baffled men the world o'er. morons as well as sages. Adam first asked the question as the serpent lay coiled in the grass. Adam said, why does a hen lay an egg? The serpent said, brother, I pass. Why does a hen lay an egg? Since Adam's day, it's puzzled all scholars. It was asked by Kay Kaiser last Wednesday night. The contestant lost $64. Tonight, I will answer this question. For the nonce, I am pundit, not joker. The reason a hen lays an egg is because if she coughed up the egg, it would choke her.
Well, Fausty, that certainly ought to clear up an embarrassing traffic problem for poultry raisers everywhere. And don't forget, men, if you have any poems on hand that you think would elevate the educational stature of the old GI Journal, just email them into our paper, care of Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. Hello?
Hello, Chief.
Kelowna! Well, where are you calling from?
Africa, deep in the middle of Africa. I'm the only human in sight. It's utterly deserted. There's nothing here but jungle flowers.
Oh, Professor, kiss me again.
One of the hothouse varieties.
What seems to be the trouble?
Why, it's my horse. He's starving to death, and this place is jammed with oats, too.
Well, Kelowna, if that place is so full of oats, why should your horse be starving to death?
Only has a hay cart. Seems to be quite a lot of corn around here, too.
Yes. Bob Hope must be in the vicinity, huh? Must be pretty tedious there.
Ah, no. Tarzan is over here, and he's traveling from tree to tree, hundreds of feet from the ground.
Well, I'm glad you saw that, Kelowna. That always puzzled me. How can Tarzan travel from tree to tree like that?
Rides in a jeep.
You want to be very careful in Africa, Kelowna. There's a lot of wild animals in that there jungle.
Well, I'm just lying here in a beautiful stream next to a big log.
A log? Kelowna, I'll bet that's not a log. Probably an alligator.
Nonsense. Watch. I'll hit it with my hand. I hope he chokes with my wristwatch.
They tell me, Stubby, what else is going on over there?
I just saw a beautiful native girl in a sarong.
Kelowna, I'll bet you don't even know what a sarong is.
I don't know, eh?
Well, what is a sarong?
Shelter half that made good.
Kelowna, be careful of those wild animals around there.
Here comes a big tiger now, but he'll never see me. I'm staying in this gopher hole.
You're staying in a gopher hole?
That's right, but I'm having a little trouble.
What's the trouble?
Watch 2 weeks' rent in advance.
Kelowna, if you want to get away from that tiger, you better run for your life.
I don't worry about a thing, Chief. All I have to do is hop across this 30-foot canyon.
Oh, Kelowna, you're getting nutty as a walnut grove. You'll never be able to get across the 30-foot canyon in one hop.
Oh, no, just watch. You're right, Chief. Took me 2 hops.
Time now for a little Emily Post, if you please.
Did I see moonlight and magnolia trees? Smile again, my darling, if you please. Did I hear music on a warm spring breeze? Speak again, my darling, if you please. Did I feel cool September rain just then? If you please, touch my cheek with your hand again. When you are near me, I can dream with ease, and I'm yours, my darling, if you please.
Well, men, Private First Class Frank Bulch wrote in to say that he'd like to hear one of those soap operas that you hear on the radio nowadays. So here we go, lads.
The Yuki Pungent Perfume Company, manufacturers of Carbolical, the aroma that puts you in a coma, present another in the thrilling family series, The Adventures of the Cronkite.
Carbolico is on the air.
Just for you.
Carbolico, the perfume rare.
All P.U.
You dab it here, you dab it there, and you will smell it everywhere. Carbolico is on the air. Oh, can't you smell it?
And now, the Cronkite family. When we last left the Cronkites, they were in trouble, terrible trouble. Aunt Tessie, lovable Aunt Tessie, had run off with Joe Pascudniak. And, to make matters worse, she's threatening to come back. And what about Tim? Lovable Tim. He, too, is in trouble. Terrible trouble. As our story opens today, Lindy Lou, the fun-loving Cronkite, is telling her heartbreaking story to Pa, lovable Pa. She can't turn to Ma, lovable Ma, because Ma's in the kitchen working her fingers to the bone over a hot crap game. And now, the Cronkite.
Oh, Pa, lovable Pa.
What is it, my proud, sensitive beauty?
I'm so unhappy. My husband, Bing, lovable Bing, has run off and left me.
And where did he go?
He went to Poughkeepsie to see the regatta.
The regatta?
The regatta.
Well, when regatta go, regatta go. No. Wait till I get my hands on your husband, that crooning viper.
Oh, what'll you do, Pa?
I'll make the blue of his night meet the gold of his day.
Nay, Father, don't harm Bing. I love him. I love him.
Oh, you poor child. To think that lovable Bing could do this to Linda Lou. Lovable Linda Lou.
Wait, Father, hark.
I'm harking. Hark, hark, hark.
Here comes Bing now.
Oh, Linda Lou, I have come back. Hello, dear. Please, I'm pleased. Hello, Pater-in-law, formerly Pater.
Hello, Rat, formerly lovable Bing.
Oh, Bing. Bing, my darling, you come back.
Yes, I didn't go to Poughkeepsie. I got as far as the station and then... Well, then I had to come back.
Because you love me?
Yes, because I love you. Because you're my one and only, and besides...
Besides what?
I didn't have train fare.
No train fare?
No.
Then, my lovable lad, does that mean that you've come back to live here in my house? To fill it with your lovable personality... Just as you always did?
Yes.
Here's train fare.
Thus, Private Bulch, we take leave of the Cronkites and we turn the page of this G.I. Journal to the music section. Column reads like this here.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little vine. I like to feel your cheek so rosy, like to make you comfy, cozy, cause I love from head to toe, cozy. Love cuddle up just a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little thing and mine. I like to feel your cheeks so rosy, like to make you comfy, cozy,
'cause I love from head to toe, oh dear. Love be mine.
Oh, Bing, Bing.
What's up, Linda Darnell? Something exciting in that batch of V-mail you got there?
Right you are, Bing. There's a letter here from Corporal John R. Ditson in the Southwest Pacific that I'm sure you'll find most interesting. He writes that he's just starting a collection of pin-up pictures, and he'd like your advice on which Hollywood glamour girls to pin up.
Well, Corporal, let me see. I'd pin up Linda Darnell, and I'd pin up Rita Hayworth, and I'd pin up Betty Grable.
Well, what about Dorothy L'Amour?
Been pinned up for years.
Oh, Bing, I'll bet most men would give anything to go through a day with those glamour girls.
Yes, I guess they would, Liz.
Well, you know, Bing, I'll never forget one day over at Paramount when Gary Cooper was working on three different sets at the same time. He kissed Paulette Goddard on stage one, then he rushed over and hugged Claudette Colbert on stage two, and then he had to run over to stage three and hold Veronica Lake in his arms.
That sounds like an obstacle course in Utopia, doesn't it? But he's a good man, that Cooper.
Yeah,
grand boy. Never forget, I showed him his first holt.
You showed him?
Yes, a flying mare, I think it was, with a half Nelson.
Yes, I see. Well, Bing, now look, you can't even kiss straight.
What makes you say I can't kiss straight?
Well, I was over on the set yesterday during your love scene with Dorothy L'Amour.
Yeah?
Well, you puckered up, she puckered up, and... Well, that's the first time in history a director ever had to wave Maggie's drawers.
Linda! You can't make light of my technique at romance. I'll have you know I've made love to Madeline Carroll, I've made love to Ann Sheridan, I've made love to Hedy Lamarr.
Bing, Bing, Bing!
What are you, a woman or a sex shooter here?
Look, Bing, you'll never convince me that you're really the lover type.
Oh, yes. I'm chock full of romance, Linda.
Oh, no.
One of my kisses could prove it.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. There.
Why, Bing, why, you're just as full of romance as Grant.
Carrie?
No, Ulysses S.
Why, he's dead.
See what I mean?
Touché. Well, maybe we better drop this whole thing and get on with those letters to our editor column. But fast, any lipstick on me?
Yes. Okay, here's a letter from Private Johnny Donovan with the American paratroopers who landed in New Guinea. Johnny says they carry so much battle equipment with them on their jumps, they have no room for personal belongings, not even for a tiny safety razor. As a matter of fact, some of the signalmen packed loads that weighed 60 pounds.
That's not such a big load. You should see the one my Uncle Barney Dean used to tote on Saturday night. Boy, he could really get practice. Well, here comes Papa with the wrong kind of load.
Well, Editor Bing, I think you better read this next letter, seeing as how it's got to do with horses.
Mm-hmm. Let's not have any thinly veiled innuendos, Linda. But I'm game. I'll read it. Where's this missive? Oh, here. It's from a post in Britain. It seems that Corporal Julian Braysmore was issued a horseshoeing kit 2 years ago, and he hasn't even unpacked it. He's happy and all that as he's blacksmithing, but his work deals entirely with trucks. He wants to see a horse.
No kidding.
How do you like that? He wants to see a horse.
That is a coincidence, isn't it?
You dear child. Now then, proceed with the business on hand. Whom is this letter next letter from,
Private Sam Mundo at Zandari Field in Dutch Guinea. Army engineers there have completed a road built of solid mahogany, Bing.
Sounds like a certain comedian's head trimmed with irium.
Yes. I think you're mean to poor Bob.
Well, as long as we're on the subject of sacks, are there any other letters in that pouch?
Yes, indeed, Bing. There are some honeys from Frank Brown, Louis Feinberg, Wayne Paradise, and it goes on forever. I certainly wish we could read them all. But look, fellas, please don't forget, if you happen to run across anything that appeals to you, just send it in to your good old GI Journal, and we'll be awful glad to give it a column or two. Address, Special Service, Los Angeles, USA.
Thank you, Linda Darnell. Music dedication column this week goes to an important crew of guys in the form of a question.
What do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What do you do when your pack has got your back as stiff as stars? There's many a fall in the cavalry, but never a fall in arms. What do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What are you doing the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. What are you getting the infantry? You left and right a blank. The son of a gun in the signal corps is traveling on a bike. And what are you doing the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there, the hard way. What are you doing the infantry? You win, you win, you win. What do you do for the victory? You're moving to Berlin. The rest of the army is riding, riding through a triumphal arch. What do you do in the infantry? You march.
The great march.
You march.
The great march.
March.
What are you doing, the infantry?
You march.
You march.
You march.
What are you doing? Your pack has got your back. This is the start.
There's many a fall in the cavalry,
but never a fall in arch.
And what are you doing, the infantry?
You march, you march, and march.
What are you doing, the infantry?
You hike.
You hike.
You hike.
What are you getting, the infantry?
A left.
And right.
A blank.
The son of a gun in the signal corps is traveling on a bike.
What are you doing, the infantry?
You hike, you hike, you hike.
The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there, the hard way.
What are you doing, the infantry?
You win, you win, you win.
What do you do for the victory?
You're moving to Berlin. The rest of the army is riding, riding through a triumphal arch. And what are you doing, the infantry?
You march.
And here on the next page of your journal, we come to...
Hello.
Well, of all the soldiers in the army that could have dropped in, look who's here, Private Snafu.
That's me, Private Snafu.
Yes, the army's pride and jerk. You just got back from overseas, didn't you?
Yeah, and I want to get right over to a dance hall because I'm A-W-O-L.
A-W-O-L?
Yeah, absolutely wild over lady. Say, how would you like to hear about some of my experiences overseas?
Oh, now, wait a minute here, Snafu. You know about a slip of the lip, don't you?
Yeah, makes for messy kissing, don't it? Hey, I can sure think of snappy answers.
Oh, you're
I?
A card.
That's what I've got me in. It's got me in trouble many times with my Sarge overseas. He had no sense of humor.
Oh, he was the straight-laced type, huh?
I don't know. One of the other fellas helped him with his girdle. Me, I wasn't bucking for corporal.
Well, tell me, how did you keep getting into trouble?
Well, take that time I got into a fight with him about camouflage.
Camouflage?
Yeah. Don't you know what camouflage means?
I don't think so.
You dress like you do.
Is there any particular technique in getting camouflage?
Oh, sure. The Sarge said you should look for some object that you fit right in with. He told one guy who was very thin to stand against a tree, and he would look like part of it. And he told some fat guy to lay down behind a big rock, and he would look like part of that.
And did he have something in mind for you to fit in with?
I guess so. He told me to find the front half of a horse and stand in back of it.
Don't go away. I may have you running for me at Santa Anita. And now we'll move over to Colin and, Hello?
Hello, Chief.
Look, Professor. We're waiting for your news report.
How'd we all? I can't give it to you now, Chief. I'm sick.
Sick? Oh, I don't know. Somehow I feel you just don't have what it takes to be a war correspondent.
Ah, that's silly. Why, I had a grandfather who for years followed in the footsteps of Lee.
General Robert E. Lee?
No, Gypsy Rose.
Sorry. Tell me, what makes you think you're sick? What did you eat?
I ate some oysters.
Well, maybe they were no good. What did they look like when you opened them?
You're supposed to open them?
Now, don't you know you're only supposed to take what you can eat? Why do you gorge?
What was that?
Gorge.
Okay, this is Kelowna, not Washington.
No, I said, why gorge?
Ah, what a question. Oh, Mr. Crosby.
Tell me, Kelowna.
Oh, Mr. Crosby.
Hit me.
When lining up to get my daily bite, why chew so carefully, with taste and finity, when there is all that food right out of sight?
Oh, Mr. Colonna.
I'm telling you.
Oh, Mr. Colonna.
Oh, yes, Obie.
You really have an awful lot to learn. To make that Hitler chirp, just keep stuffing till you burp.
I'm thoroughly embarrassed, Mr. Crosby.
Bicarbonate of soda, Mr. C.
My rich baritone fooled you, didn't it?
Yes, indeed.
I guess that should settle who the number one crooner really is.
Frankie, his name out of this. Hedgehead. And now that our tonsils are in high gear, I think we ought to continue in the same vein and answer this request from the gang at APO 696. They'd like to have us all ride in on a little barbershop harmony on Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Okay, men, but only on one condition. That all you men listening in will latch on and help us out, too. I'll do the words for you once over light like this here. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so blue. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Now, Private Barrabeen and Howard Harrett and all the guys at APO 928 and everybody else here in the joint, let's hear you sing out, huh? You ready? Let's go.
Let me call you sweetheart.
Big.
I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me.
That was really swell. For a fleeting moment, I thought I was at the Pastime Pool Hall in Split Lip, Nevada. Well, fellas, it's just about time to turn on the nightlight here at the old GI Journal. But don't forget to V-mail any poems, gags, commercials, or anything else you got handy. Address us at Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. This is the old groaner saying so long and good luck.
Journal. The GI Journal was a presentation of the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.